Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good morrow, everyone.
Yeah. Hi. Hello. How's everyone doing?
Not too bad.
How are you, Tony? Yes. Okay. Working and still working and carrying on working like we all are, keeping busy. What you been up to, Tony?
Well, planning a few events for the Hub, and I've had a bit of a stressed few weeks, but that's all finished now. So, yeah, just sorting out Hub bits, you know, because obviously we haven't got DHT and Metro Charity now in West Sussex, so just sort of keeping in touch with people and stuff. So, yeah. Sure. What about you, Joe?
I'm in the middle of moving, so I'm all over the place at the moment, so but just trying to keep everything, all the balls up in the air. Sometimes I feel like I want to drop them. Yes, but it's been a bit of a stressful time as well for me, but it's one of those things you have to go through when you're moving, isn't it?
I think in general moving, isn't it? I think it's just the whole thing of...
Don't they say it's one of the most stressful things apart from divorce or someone dying, moving?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just taken a bit longer than I thought it would. You know? But that's about just, you know, it's a bit of patience and, So we're getting there. That's my slogan. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
How about you? So we haven't got Stephen or Tanya with us this week, have we? So.
Yeah, I believe Tanya, I think she's mentioned that last time she was on the show, she's starting university, so she started her course on Monday, and she wasn't quite sure whether should be here today, but we haven't lost Tanya. She's going to be dipping in and out, and I believe Stephen was sort of wrapped up with many of his things he's doing. But I just want to give a quick mention. Brighton was quite fortunate. I think it's a couple of weeks ago now. We had, and now excuse me if I get a surname wrong, we had the United UniAids Executive Director Winnie Banyama doing a tour of Brighton, and I met her. She's an absolutely lovely lady. She shook hands, and you know, I sort of grabbed her hand and shook it because obviously it was an amazing day. Such a soft, lovely hand. But what was so amazing, she was so impressed about what we do in Brighton. You know, we've got the Martin Fisher Foundation, we've got Lunch Positive, we've got Positive Voices, we've got THT, and more to me than HIV. You know, we had like stalls all around. I think it was based in the Methodist where Lunch Positive is. And it was an amazing day. And she literally stood on each stall and, you know, I spoke about this a wonderful project, and I mentioned the radio and what have you. And one of her things she said, she was so impressed to what we do in Brighton. She wanted to take everything that we do in Brighton, if she had a wish, she'd want to take everything we do in Brighton and put it in every city in the world. And she met up with the MPs, and she had talks with, you know, Caroline Lucas and all the other MPs in Brighton. So, yeah, I just want to mention, because, you know, Brighton should be proud, and especially the work that we're doing as well. So I just wanted to give a bit of a shout out, Josh, to our Winnie. She's our Winnie now.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it just shows how lucky we are as well. You know, in this town.
Yeah.
Because other towns and cities aren't as fortunate, obviously. It's
definitely not. No.
Yeah. So what's on the show then today?
Well, we've got a couple. I've got my tongue's tied, Tony. We've got a couple of good interviews, haven't we? Yes. I done a lovely interview with David Frey and Glenn. What's Glenn's surname?
Glenn Stevens.
And we spoke about. We were talking about the visibility, and we're talking about HIV and putting a different face. And we had a great conversation about more to me than HIV and how that's really exploded. So we had a really great interview with some great things happening. And it was, again, another project that was sort of born in Brighton. And I believe we got another interview, haven't we, Josh?
Yeah, so it's kind of a visibility kind of show, isn't it? About exhibitions around the, well, there's one in Bristol that Stephen did an interview with, which is We Are Still Here. So he's done an interview with them. Basically, just showcasing these great photo exhibitions that we have. And it's around the world, isn't it, Tony, these things that people do?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So also we've got the 1 minute roundup, news roundup, mm-hmm. which is quite popular, yeah. isn't it?
That's serving quite popular. And I want to do a bit of a shout out, guys, to one of our regular listeners. And he's all the way from Massachusetts. And it's Bill. So we want to say a hi to Bill. And we want to say thank you for your emails. How much he's loving the show. How much he's loving that new segment, which has brought a massive smile to our faces. And we want to take this opportunity, don't we, Tony and Josh, that if anyone's listening, tell us what you think, what you'd like us to do. Would you like to contribute? We'd love to hear from you, like we're hearing from Bill. So I thought we'd just do a shout out there.
Yes, thanks, Bill. Thank you. Okay. So should we get on with the show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to the HIV Hour. So today I am doing an interview, and the person that I'm doing the interview with is somebody that I've been involved with for quite a long time now, but this project has been held up because of COVID. But it's lovely at last to be able to welcome Marika Gunnish. Is that right, Marika?
It's hard to pronounce.
But welcome to the HIV Hour. Thank you for coming on today. I suppose I should start off with asking you that famous question of who you are and what do you do?
First of all, thanks a lot for having me. It's really great to be on here and talk to you again. As you probably can hear, I'm from Germany. And I am a photographer. I'm living in London since about 5 years. And with my work, I focus on social change, documentary photography, and participatory projects. That's what I'm really interested in.
Okay, that's great. And obviously the project that we are involved with together is We Are Still Here. And this is a project that I'm thinking it's been about 2 years since we first got in touch in the very beginning. Is that about right?
Yeah, I reached out to you about 2 years ago, but that previously it was for another project I was doing about living with HIV, which was called Positive Stories.
Right.
And I'm interested in the topic of HIV/AIDS since a very long time, and I always felt like I want to use my photography to create more awareness. And so I started doing this project, Positive Stories, which was completely self-funded and just done by myself. And while I was doing it, I got a lot of really great connections in the HIV community. And I met a lot of new friends, which was amazing, or which is still amazing. And I came across a commission from the Bristol University, the Brickstill Institute, and they were looking for a research team to work on a topic of home. And I reached out to Martin Burns, who is an HIV activist and who I met through my previous work. and asked him if he would be interested to write a project proposal and to apply for this commission to do something together about HIV/AIDS and the connotation of home and how the idea of home and safety changes through an HIV diagnosis.
Yeah, so as you say, it focuses on home, and it wasn't actually something that I realised how important it was until after we did the project, you know, Marika. It was it suddenly became more clear to me, you know, after hearing myself back on the recordings that we did, just how important home is, and especially for somebody that's living with HIV, you know, to find a space that is ours. So what was it that attracted you to doing something about, you know, about this issue?
I totally agree with you. I think home is something which we don't think about a lot, but which actually is really important for our mental well-being and to just feel grounded and feel safe. And it's like being a tree with roots. We have to be we have to feel home somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have to feel belonging. And it's a constant topic in my own life as well, because yeah. I've moved countries a lot, and for me it's always really important to belong to a community or to have my people around me as well, because they make me feel home. And then additionally, with COVID, where we were so restricted in meeting people, home again became a complete, it had a complete new layer as well. And a lot of people got stuck in their home. But
yeah,
what makes you feel home, which is important, was not accessible anymore. And I think that's it's quite interesting when you think about home. Having a home is a core need.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It is, and as you say, with COVID, it's made it all the more important, hasn't it? You know, so what? Obviously, you are a wonderful photographer. You've taken a number of photographs of me over the time that we've known each other, and they're just very, very natural and very, that's what I love about your photography. It's just very natural. And that naturalness has an element of beauty about it, you know, not to say that I'm beautiful, but you know,
thank you.
But you know, it's that realness of your photographs that really spoke to me and the people that I've shown them to. So what is it about HIV? What was it about, you know, what is it about the topic that got you interested in taking photographs for this project?
So I have to go a bit back in time. A very dear friend of mine got diagnosed with HIV, and it's probably about 11, 12 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite young at that age. He was quite young. And he went through a lot of pain, and experiencing his pain was something that really struggled me, because I think having a virus, and especially in these days where U equals U, and you know, it's a condition which from a medical point of view is really easy handlebar.
Mm-hmm.
Actually an English word.
Yeah.
Handlebar.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Sometimes I'm making up words. And so many people are so ignorant about how it is living with HIV, and I always thought I would like to create more awareness, because everyone has an important story to tell, and limiting people to an HIV diagnosis is so wrong. And every one of us has so many different parts of identity, and you know, I thought it's really important to make HIV just a part of us and not the virus define people. But that's what stigmatization does. And as I said, all my work is about social change and challenging perceptions and challenging existing stereotypes. And so it just fell in place, and I felt like now I actually have the time and the resources and also the network to create awareness about HIV, and I'm really happy about that. And so Martin and me, we are working together with Adrian Flynn from the University in Bristol, who we just met through the project and who is an amazing researcher. And, you know, he added an academic level to our project as well, which is just, it just really felt like everything is falling into place.
Yeah. Yep, I get you. So where will the exhibition be on, you know, and how long will it be on for?
So the exhibition will be part of the Bristol Photo Festival, and it will be exhibited in the vestibules. I'm still not sure if I pronounced that right.
That is right, yeah.
It's part of the City Hall next to College Green. And the exhibition starts on the 5th of October and will be on for the whole month. Unfortunately, the opening times are quite restricted because it's a government building.
Yeah.
So that people are free to see the exhibition Tuesdays to Friday from 11:30 to 4:30. Unfortunately, it's not open during the weekend, which is really sad. But the exhibition is free. You don't have to pre-book. You can just show up, and it's a wonderful room. It's a listed building. It's just next to College Green, and I hope a lot of people will come and see it.
And there's some, I know from other people that are involved in the project, there are some wonderful advocates and people living with HIV that are telling their stories. What if you could have one thing, you know, that you could, that could come from this exhibition, what would it be?
So,
the big question.
That's a big question. So the project is not only photography, we also have audio interviews. So everyone is telling their own story in their own words, and people are able to download the stories and listen to them whenever they feel ready to listen. So it's kind of an archive of oral history as well, which is amazing because everyone's story is unique. And I'm so grateful to everyone who participated. And if there would be one thing that I would like people to take with them, get tested.
Yeah.
I think if it would just become a normality to get tested regularly, we could, you know, normalize the virus. And I think living with a pandemic right now and see how normalized we are with COVID now, it is doable. We can do that.
Yeah, well, if it does that, you know, Marika, if it can make people be aware of testing and how easy it is, and just how HIV and AIDS has changed from what it used to be, then it's definitely done something amazing.
I hope it does, and it's therefore I'm quite happy that it is there at College Green, because there are a lot of young people, and I hope that a lot of young people will see the exhibition, because I think it's really important to be aware of your own sexuality and take responsibility and not be scared.
Yeah.
But it's also like to not, as I said before, to not limit somebody to one condition of their life. And not, you know, don't focus on just one aspect. People are so amazing and everyone has a great story. So try to listen to their story and you will learn a lot.
Yeah, I always say that for my own story, that, you know, and I think I did it in our interview, you know, I said there's so much more to me than HIV. And it's so important to see that there is that so many other things in so many people, isn't that?
Yep.
Good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the HIV Hour. There's going to be, I'm going to be down there in I don't know if Bristol is down there or up there, but I think it's down there. So I'm going to be in Bristol on the first day, and I'll be doing a video for Heart Talks. And so hopefully we will get to see you on the video somewhere along the way. Thank you again. And is there anything else that I've missed out that you would like to say?
I would like to thank the Photo Festival and the Brixtow Institute for giving us the chance to create this project, of course, and again, I would like to thank all the participants to trust us to carry their amazing stories, because this is unbelievable that people allowed us into their lives and into their stories and shared them. And this is, I have great respect for everyone who participated.
Well, as one of those people that did participate, you made it very easy, Marika. You know, from our first meeting, you made it very easy. So in turn, I thank you for doing something like this.
And people, please come to our exhibition opening. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make it to Bristol, we are trying to show it somewhere else. We will, and we are having a dedicated homepage, wearestillhere.net, where you can find information about the project.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for doing this interview, and we'll catch up later, okay?
Thanks so much, and take care, and I hope to see you soon.
Great interview with Stephen there and the Bristol Photo Festival.
Today, we're going to be talking about amazing, brilliant initiative, born and bred in Brighton. It's called More to Me Than HIV. I want to bring in David Frey and Glenn Stevens, and we're just going to have a chat about this amazing initiative. Hi, David. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Hi, Sue. Lovely to see you. Nice to see you, Glenn.
Hello, you too. Lovely to see you both.
I think I've done a bit of a swell introduction. So really, guys, when did this More to Me Than HIV start?
So, so 3 years back now, I did an exhibition at Jubilee Library. And after that, after you came on board, Sue, and spoke about the Positive Voices Project, I've said this to you before, I wanted to be more Sue. I wanted to be more open about being HIV positive. And I'd worked with David on that project as well. So together, we got some other people on board for the project. And talk about what we could do. So do you want to say some more?
Yes, it was a milestone to mark the 30th anniversary of the Brighton and Hove AIDS Memorial. It was lovely to see so many people attending in the library and just learning more about HIV. And there were people alive that weren't alive at the time when HIV first appeared that were at the library that just wanting to know more. And it was great.
So looking back and now looking forward, guys, how much has it evolved in the last, it's nearly a couple of years now, isn't it? So why is it so important, do you think, David? And we talk about why it's so important that, you know, being visible and talking about visibility. Let's have a chat about that. Why is it so important, people living with HIV?
I think the real game changer came just 5 years ago. So it was 5 years ago this year that U equals U was proclaimed by the scientific community. So that showed us that if you have an undetectable viral load, you cannot pass on HIV. And that is so important in reducing the stigma and fear that people have around HIV, because up until treatment started in 1995, people with an HIV diagnosis, you know, it was considered to be a terminal condition. And so people across the world associated it with death and fear and disease. But that's no longer the case. It's a lifelong manageable condition, and we can live, I hate to use the word normal, but we can live to our full potential is probably the best word. So by being visible, we can actually educate the public and show them that there is nothing to be feared by us anymore. And there are not as many of us as there was once feared that there would be. So many people in their walks of life, especially younger people who are more at risk of catching HIV, they probably don't know somebody with HIV. So it's only by being visible that we can stand up and say, this is us. It's nothing to be frightened of. Now just get yourself tested. And if you do test positive, get yourself on treatment and then carry on with the rest of your life.
Mm. And Glenn, HIV happens in every single community, doesn't it? We're not, it doesn't care, does it really? It doesn't stigmatise on, I'm going to pick on that community, I'm going to pick on this community. It doesn't mind, does it really, Glenn?
It doesn't at all. And so part of this project, we reached out to all parts of the HIV community, asking them to come on board. And we really understood how difficult that is. So if you're from a community where you've got stigmatized anyway, and then we're asking you to come out on top of that with being HIV as well. But it's so important for people from marginalized communities do come on board for the project. Because then someone from that community would say, oh, actually, yes, I'm being represented here, and then feel more confident being able to stand up and also say there's more to me than HIV. So with the project, we have members from the gay community, from the women's community, from the Black community. We're still trying to reach out from members from the transgender community, from the drug using community. If you like to come on board for that, do come and join us. We'll give you the details at the end of the show.
And one thing you spoke about, David, that we're using pictures, aren't we? You're using pictures to see everyday people, doesn't matter who you are. And that is what's so key, isn't it, David?
Yes. So we're asking people to be visible, and I appreciate for some people it's a big ask, but we're not identifying people. We're just showing their faces. And last year we asked people to provide one self-portrait, two images that sort of describe their passions and ambitions and dreams and things that they're proud of, and three defining words. That was a bit difficult because people didn't know quite how to define themselves as a whole. But you know, we just said, you know, treat it like a photo each, you know, define yourself for that moment in time, because, you know, we change from one moment to another. So we're asking people to just show their faces in a hopefully in a sea of faces of HIV positive people. So really, individually, you're just one in a crowd. So you don't feel quite so exposed. And then this year, we've got a professional photographer that's going to be doing professional portraits, and participants will be able to take a copy of their favourite picture that's taken on the day for themselves as our way of saying thank you. It's going to look really nice displayed in the libraries of Brighton and Hove.
And I am so pleased that Glenn contacted me. Is it about a year ago now? I can't remember, Glenn. And you asked me if I would be interested. And of course I said yes. Why wouldn't I want to take part in this amazing initiative? And I think it's so important, guys, because, I mean, I speak very publicly about my status and I still shock people. And I sometimes think, get over yourself. Why are you shocked that I'm a woman and I'm living with HIV? But you, I mean, 15 years now, and I'm still shocking people in some way. You know what? I'm quite pleased. I'm still shocking people in a positive way, and they're like, "Oh, blimey, yeah, right. Oh, gosh." But do you know the age group I tend to shock the most is the older generation, because they've got the old misconceptions about what AIDS was. As seen, you know, before HIV was properly developed and there was a proper name for it, you know, back in the day, the 70s and the 80s and the tombstone adverts, and that's what they remember. And they remember HIV and AIDS happening in communities that didn't affect, or they didn't see it as happening to women, but little did they know HIV was happening to every single community. But I feel really passionate, guys, that I am part of this, you know, and taken part and showing my face. And I've got my appointment ready for Saturday. I've got my outfit ready for my photo. So, you know, I want to thank you guys for inviting me onto this, you know, and taking part in it. And, you know, if there's any other women or anyone out there thinking, okay, if I don't have to say much and I'll bring my outfit along, or I'd like to take part, I want to be part of this. Hey, you know, get on board. What would you say there?
So one of the things I was going to add for that is we wanted to do something a little bit different with a portrait project. So for the portraits to express the more to me part of you. So as David said previously, we had the two other images and the words. So this time within the portrait, you're going to express your whatever is that's the more to you part of your whole project. So I was talking to Angus, the photographer, last night about my part. And definitely going down the writer side of me. So bringing some images of my previous works and how we can do that. But like it can be as interpreted as any way you like for the project. But yeah, have fun with it. We want people to be drawn to the images and to really work out what it is that's more to you.
I want people to shine, really shine. So just be your best self, how you want the world to see you. And if we all do that together, you know, it will break down the fear. It will normalize people living with HIV and hopefully educate the public at the same time about you equals you.
Guys, let me ask you a question. Why do you think there is still HIV stigma? And I know that's a big question. And I get asked it all the time. And I want to put it over to you guys.
I think it does vary from community to community. So depending on the culture and the background you have. So there are some, and I hate to put them down, but there are some churches that would probably sort of stigmatize and look down on people with certain lifestyles. But I think actually in this country, it goes down to, it's an unfortunate side effect of the fantastic public information campaign that Lord Norman Fowler did. It's the first time it had ever been done in the country, where he did this campaign about AIDS, don't die of ignorance. But he went to a professional advertising company, I think it was Saatchi & Saatchi, and they used tombstones and icebergs, and the music was, you know, quite ominous and dreadful. And I think that had a great effect. You know, it made me scared. And I think there's the legacy of that, unfortunately, although it did help prevent transmissions. It's also put that fear in people's minds. That's for this country, but other countries have different campaigns, and I'm sure. So yeah,
Glenn, what do you think?
Just the same with that, it boils down to misinformation and ignorance of all. And what a big thing on this campaign is to when I've mentioned HIV to people of my generation who aren't part of the HIV community, they go, oh, I remember that. I remember tombstones. And that's where their memories are taken back to. They're taken back to the fear. And so we want to just reset that whole idea of what HIV is, you know, with positive images. So it is down to misinformation and re-educating people, really, is the way forward to improving people's lives who live with HIV.
I think people are also feared of the unknown. So if they don't know somebody living with HIV, they don't know what it entails. They don't know that, you know, we only see our doctors once a year now. We see a nurse every almost 6 months in between. But it's this fear of the unknown. And but with this campaign, we're not challenging anybody. We're trying to educate by... we're doing a very gentle, soft approach. And we're not saying, you know, to people, you should know better. We're saying, actually, this is how we are, and we're fine. You know, obviously, there are some people who struggle with different combinations, but there are so many combinations of drugs available now that these usually a good fit for everybody. And no, we're not challenging anybody. We just want to shine.
What I must tell you, and this will make you, well, it makes me laugh, and it makes people laugh every time I tell them. my daughter often says to me, because my daughter's 24 now, and she was actually only 8 and a half when I was diagnosing myself with HIV, and after many years of not talking about HIV because I was scared and all of that thing, you know, she knows all about it now, but she often says to me, she goes, "Mum, don't you get fed up of banging on about yourself?" And I just look at her and I say, I will continue to bang on about myself. So everyone hopefully is listening. She says, "Yeah, I thought I don't have to say nothing. Just look at me. I'm an everyday person."
Absolutely. We just rethink, you know, that through image we can make a real difference. A positive image can make a real positive impact on people living with HIV, particularly from a minority groups seeing themselves presented within our project.
Definitely. So guys, hopefully listeners are listening in, and I don't know whether you're aware, but we've got listeners throughout the world that listen to us.
Fantastic. Honestly,
we've got, we had a lovely email from a lovely guy from Massachusetts. So a few weeks ago.
Oh, hello, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Bill from Massachusetts, and he tunes in.
Hi, Bill.
Weekly, and he loves, you know, he loves what we do, and we've got, you know, listeners all around the world, because let's put it this way, you know, we're doing a great job. So what would you say, people are listening in, I quite fancy that, I want more information, how can I get involved?
We have a website, the website is www.moretomethanhiv.life, and we chose the suffix life to be life affirming and positive. Right. So there's information on how to contact us, there's information on the background to the project, you can see portraits of people that submitted last year, we've even done a little movie slideshow of people from last year, because we couldn't have a physical exhibition in the library because of COVID. But this year, we're going full steam ahead and we're having a proper exhibition in the library.
Brilliant. No, that's amazing. That's amazing. And if everybody didn't get that web address, you can always contact the HIVOut@gmail.com and we can pass on your details to Glenn and David. If that's okay. Any other contact or any other information from you, Glenn, that our listeners could...
Sure, no, that's the best way to get in touch with us. Go visit our website, see what we're doing. Also, if you fancy joining part of the online exhibition from last year, we're keen to keep building onto that. So with that exhibition, send in a portrait photo of yourself, two photos that represent the more to me part of you, and then three words that will describe you at that moment in time.
And just another shout out, for, you know, this is a Brighton-based initiative, and I'm sure it's going to get even bigger.
We have participants that don't live in Brighton. In fact, we had that when Winnie Byamyima came to visit.
Yes.
She's the head of UNAIDS. She came.
Yes.
Weeks ago, she sort of, when she introduced herself to all the community groups that were gathered there, she said it's all about community, and we're really proud that we've created so many projects in Brighton from grassroots level. We've identified the need, we've gone and done it, and More to Me Than HIV and Radio Reverb's HIV Hour are just two prime examples of that.
Brilliant. David, Glenn, thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank you too. Always a pleasure. And hopefully, you know, perhaps come on again and give us an update of what's going on. We always want to know what's going on and, you know, how much more you guys are doing. And thank you. Thank you. So,
you're welcome. Well, thank you for having us on.
Brilliant. Okay, Glenn, you take care. You take care, David, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, thank you.
Listen. 97.2 FM. Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM, DAB Radio on Radio Reverb Brighton. So we're going to go in with our minute stories from around the world, guys. What have you got then, Sue?
Well... this piece of information, news, whatever you want to call it, comes from Queensland. And it's saying researchers at City of Hope, a world-renowned research and treatment organisation for cancer and diabetes, and Menenies Health Institute, Queensland, at Griffin University, have developed a novel anti-HIV protein that suppressed HIV levels in bone marrow, spleen and brain of mice and prevented the virus from replicating in those regions, according to a new study published in Nature Communications today. So their research demonstrates that scientists could engineer nano-sized parts of cells called exomers to carry therapeutic cargo to hard-to-reach places, including implantable blood-brain barriers. This innovative delivery system paves the way for a future where it is conceivable that engineered exposomes could carry cargo that either suppresses infectious diseases or restructured genetic material so the pathons are rendered harmless. So basically, they've been doing some studies on mice on how things could work in humans. I know that can be controversial in some things, but that they're not just also talking about HIV, and they're talking about some other, you know, cancers and Alzheimer's and those sort of things. So, just a bit of information there.
Can I just ask a quick question there, Sue? No. Obviously, because with HIV, if you're undetectable, you still have some kind of virus in your system. Mm. So is the bone marrow classed as a sanctuary site, or do we know, is there any information on that?
That's just saying that the City of Hope of Griffin University researchers use novel method to block HIV in mice. So basically, they're experimenting what they can do on the mice. So what they're saying is scientists have developed an anti-HIV protein, and it's called ZPAMT, that can be delivered to affected areas using exomes. So there's part of the cells that are able to reach difficult to access areas of the body, such as the brain.
Amazing.
No doubt more to come. So,
Want to go next, Tony?
Yeah, I've got the story from India. I was just researching on, I'm doing a bit probably coming out in the next couple of weeks about the Middle East and HIV in the Middle Eastern countries. But then I looked at India and I didn't realize India's got the third highest infection rate in the world, in the globe, as of 2017. So that's 4 years out of date. So obviously it's going to be a bit more. There was 2.1 million people affected with HIV. And I found it really interesting because although they have, I can't remember now, I've done a little story, but they have halved the death rates and they've also really reduced the amount of new infections. So then they're desperately trying to get out the ARVs out there to people. So yeah, it's good. It's good to see that, you know, a country that has, I don't know, it's got an infrastructure, but obviously not as cemented in as like, you know, like the Western world. So I think it was really good to read up. It's just really interesting to see how other countries cope with the crisis, the HIV crisis.
And there's quite a high prevalence in India, isn't there, Tony? Of HIV and AIDS.
2017 there's 2.1 million people and I don't know how many billion of people live in India, but it's quite a high amount,
isn't it?
So Josh, what you got on the
so my story is from the US of A. It's a scholarship for people living with HIV that has turned people's dreams into reality. So this is for a guy called Daniel, hopefully I get this right, Zimzik. Zimzik, I think that's right. He was a college student who was living with HIV, and when he was getting his bachelor degree, he seroconverted, and he saw that there was little or no financial support available, and he decided to create the HIV League, which is a non-profit organisation that provides scholarships to positive students. These students often have experienced discrimination, stigma, and a host of other obstacles. That can be due down directly to systemic racism, homophobia, transphobia, and other socioeconomic issues. And that will add weight to the financial burden found in higher education. So the HIV League recently announced its 2021 cohort of scholars who will receive HIV League scholarships, or a thing called HIV League macro scholarships. Mm-hmm. The scholarship is worth up to $7,000 over a course of 2 years. The organisation also offers a $3,500 scholarship for 1 year of study to a full-time student, and a $1,500 scholarship for a part-time student. Mm. This is great stuff, isn't it? And he did say that regardless of the complications, the HIV League just wants to show the world how deserving and hardworking students living with HIV are. Mm. HIV hasn't stopped students living who live with HIV achieving their goals. Mm. So that's a good positive story.
Yeah, very, 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 very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got Stephen's. Stephen's got one as well, so we'll play that now.
Hey, everybody. So my piece of news this week is London-based, or UK-based, I should say, and it is to say that the T-shirts inspired by It's a Sin raise over £500,000 for the Terence Higgins Trust. Stars such as Sir Ian McKellen, Beverly Knight, Dermot O'Leary, and comedian Tom Allen have all been seen wearing the T-shirts, and obviously they say La on them, which is the famous line from the Russell T Davies hit show It's a Sin. Now, obviously, the It's a Sin talks about the darkest days of the AIDS epidemic, and it's just amazing, you know, and even Philip Normal himself says, it's just beyond my wildest dreams. Now, the money is being used to fund the new Life Really Changed campaign, which features Philip and 12 others living with HIV, and it challenges the stigmas still surrounding the virus by celebrating the achievements since diagnosis. It will also help the charity to provide counselling and develop training and workshops for the to be HIV inclusive. Now, the artist and Labour councillor had to work night and day to fill the orders because there were so many people wanting these T-shirts. And he's from his little shop in Brixton Village. He said he couldn't be more prouder of the fact that one of the great legacies of the show have been to raise money for the Terence Higgins Trust. We'd just like to pay tribute to the wonderful Philip Normal for making these wonderful T-shirts, and thank everybody who's bought one. So that's a piece of nice news.
So some great stories there.
Mm. The world. Amazing. Brilliant. Stories.
Yeah.
So you've got some community news, a bit more local, Tony.
Yeah, sure. So I run the Worthing Hub, people who are affected by HIV in West Sussex, all over West Sussex. We do a hub on a Tuesday morning, and we also do a Zoom hub for those people who can't get to the face-to-face one. So if they want to get hold of us or want to arrange to meet, it's just theworthinghub@gmail.com. We can arrange to meet them. We've also got a Sunday roast in October, and then we've got a Christmas meal already planned. Oh, 3 months away. But yeah, that's that. What about you, Sue? Any community news?
No, I mean, I'll just give a quick mention to the Sussex Speak, and it's the women's group. They've started to go back to face-to-face, you know, like a lot of us, we were sort of doing sort of Zoom meetings and things with all the support groups and what have you, but they are back. They are back to face-to-face. So if you're interested in getting some more information about the women's group and the support they give, is just to contact the Sussex Speak, who's based in Brighton.
Great. Fabulous. Oh, lovely show. So, yeah, thank you for listening. Another great show in the bag.
Yes.
Lovely.
Hope everyone has a good week. We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
See you all later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.